It's a very curious thing, ladies and gentlemen, but Barnes has the reputation of not being a very political poet, not being interested in political controversies. I think the reason for this is, I can think of three reasons. One is, he did steer clear of actual incidents. He didn't say anything at all, or at least he's not on record as having said anything about the Tolpuddle martyrs. You know about the Tolpuddle martyrs? The people who were transported to Australia because they had dared to form a trades union to protest about their wages. This was against the law. He didn't say anything about those, or there's no record of it. If there is, I know my collaborator Ken Ruthven will find it, because that's the kind of bloke he is. He didn't say anything about evolution. There's a fellow here in the Fringe doing a rap show about evolution, Darwin and evolution, Barbara Brinkman. He did the rap Canterbury Tales about 5 years ago. He's now doing the rap Darwin show. But Barnes didn't say anything about evolution. He steered clear of those thorny topics, but he did not steer clear of politics altogether. Anybody who reads or hears or that poem will see that he cared very much about local politics, the plight of the poor, and that the very first poem that he ever wrote in dialect shows it. I don't really know how that reputation has become so deeply ingrained. There is a companion piece to that, Rusticus Gaudens, the countryman rejoicing, where one of them does indeed get given an allotment, which one of those in the last poem that you've just seen was afraid he wouldn't get. But however, we're not. That's not one of the ones we're reading today. The second piece that we're going to do isn't actually from this first series of Rusticus poems. It came later. It's called Veres, or in later versions, The Veres. It's about fairies. And it tells us something about the superstitions of the day. The two speakers are discussing fairy rings. You know those rings of mushrooms, which can be either very small or they can get very, very big. Some of them are as much as 10 meters across, these fairy rings. And these were topics of great interest in the 19th century. How were they formed? And they were always, by tradition, they were connected with fairies. Some people called them pixie rings, other fairy rings, and some elf circles. Sometimes they were thought to be the mouth of an entrance to the underworld where perhaps the fairies lived. But others thought, oh, no, that's just the tracks where they dance. And our two speakers are discussing fairy rings, as you see. Now, in the original, the two speakers are male, Simon and Samuel. But we've gone in for a bit of gender reversal here, because, in fact, the sex of the speakers is completely irrelevant. One of them does at one point say something about we men, but man there means human being. It doesn't mean male. That is perfectly clear. There's a little bit of vocabulary that I should perhaps give you to help you with this poem. By the way, you're not having any difficulty with the accent, are you? It's perfectly easy to understand, but some of the words which have dropped out, I think it may help to know one or two of these words. When they're talking about the musical instruments that the fairies, if it is the fairies, play, one of them who is explaining to the other how these things are made says they're made of kexes. Kexes are dead stalks of hemlock or cow parsley, so Barnes tells us in his glossary. Kexes or of strays, that is, straws of different lengths, glued together. It puts me in mind of a pan flute or something like that. I'm not going to tell you what the glue is. You will have to listen very carefully to see what the glue is in this poem. Fairies.